Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another 12 days of the Comic Source episode. It's also one of my favorite cover episodes, and I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite series of all time, one of my favorite characters, Action Comics. Over a thousand issues. Obviously, it's pretty hard to narrow it down to five. Couldn't do it. Got down to six, which I think is actually pretty good. And again, it's one of the situations where the covers I chose are covers that I own. You know, there's a ton of iconic covers that, you know, I don't necessarily own that I could have picked. There are tons of iconic covers that I do own that I could have picked, but I really tried to narrow it down and not pick too many. So let's start with Action Comics number 300. This one's by Kurt Swan. Again, very iconic cover. Superman becomes the last man on Earth when he's captive of the Red Sun. So it's a future story where the sun's wavelength has changed to red because it's gotten older. It's a very famous cover, Superman with a beard, sweating on planet Earth, Red Sun in the background, Daily Planet building in the background, other buildings in the background that have fallen into disrepair, vines growing up the sides of them. The Daily Planet itself, the planet on top, is cracked and not whole any longer. So just a very famous cover that pulls you in and you want to know what's going on. It definitely makes you want to pick it up and read it. And it's Kurt Swan. Had to put a Kurt Swan cover on here. So next up, issue number 368. This is by Carmen Infantino. Again, a very famous cover. Superman is walking away into the setting sun. And we see in the foreground all these different newspapers saying, Earth of Paradise, war outlawed, no more crime, disasters ceased, and Superman's thinking to himself, they don't need Superman anymore. I'm through. I'm finished. There's a trash can with a bunch of guns sticking out of it, obviously implying that guns have been discarded and thrown away. So again, it's one of those covers that pulls you in. You want to know what's going on. You want to pick it up and read it. Plus, I think that the purple and the black of the clouds in the sky gives it that forlorn kind of look. Even the logo itself is purple and green, which, you know, a little bit darker colors, a little more morose. So it works very well. Plus having the newspapers there to convey the information, I think is a great choice rather than having a bunch of boxes or blurbs. So again, I think it's a cover that works very well, very iconic. Let's see, up next I have a couple of covers from the Byrne era. I could have gone five or six covers just from the Byrne era itself. It's such a kind of a seminal era of Superman, especially for me, you know, during my junior high and high school days. So the first one I picked is number 591. It's Superman versus Superboy. So this is Superboy Prime, one of his first appearances. And Superman's in Smallville. He's taking a punch from Superboy Prime. Superboy Prime saying, Smallville isn't big enough for the both of us, Superman. And again, it's just a great cover. We see the Legion of Superheroes in the background that have traveled through time to kind of figure out what's going on with Superboy after Crisis and such. So it's that great clean lines that Byrne is noted for, very muscular Superman and Superboy Prime. The difference between the two, you know, the age of one versus the youth of the other is very self-evident. The sort of the charm of Smallville in the background with some older vehicles and buildings and such. It's great. It's a wonderful cover, and Superboy Prime is one of my favorite characters along with Superman. So I definitely had to put this on my list. Up next, it's number 591 from that same Byrne era. This is Superman versus Booster Gold, and it's a very iconic cover as well. And one thing I should mention is, so during the Byrne era of Action Comics, Action Comics was sort of the title where Superman met everybody. It's where all the guest stars came in. So every month in Action Comics, it would be Superman and somebody else, whether he was teaming up with somebody or fighting somebody. It's just kind of how it went. So we've got Booster Gold and Superman, and this is the only time I can ever remember John Byrne drawing Booster Gold. And I like the way he has him here, very menacing. He's got Superman by the hair. Superman looks like he's unconscious, and Booster Gold's pulling his head back like Superman's been laying face down in the mud. And Booster Gold's pulling his head up out of this water, this puddle, and he's got mud on his face, and the water's cascading down from his chin. And it says, the Man of Steel versus the Man of Gold, guess who's winning this time? And in the background, we see kind of rubble and buildings that have been kind of destroyed in the fight. from the Metropolis skyline. So again, it's just it's a really impactful cover. It draws you in. It makes you want to pick up the comic and, okay, why are they fighting? How could Booster Gold possibly defeat Superman when Superman is so powerful? So it's a very, very interesting image. Plus, I like the white background with the orange lettering. I think that works very well also. All right, the next cover is from a little bit later, sort of around that same time, before the Triangle Era started. But it's when George Perez was writing Action Comics and he was doing the covers. And this cover is by George Perez with Brett Breeding. And in the story, this is when the Matrix is around, which is sort of the last survivor of that alternate universe where General Zod and his allies had literally killed everything down to the bacteria on Earth. And this protoplasm, this matrix that could shapeshift was sort of the only living survivor. And Superman brought it back to our universe and took it to Mom, Pa Kent, and they were sort of raising it as a child, as a female. But in this story, that protoplasm kind of imprints on some of the things that Clark had left behind in his boyhood bedroom. And the Matrix starts to believe it's Superman. So it transforms itself into sort of a dark version of Superman. And that's what we see on the cover here. So it's a version of Superman, but the head and shoulders are in shadow and all you see is the red eyes glowing. But the thing about the costume is it's gray and black instead of the blue and red that we're used to seeing. And even the yellow is sort of muted. And it's another one of those things where you think, well, why is Superman colored this way? Is this an evil Superman? Like, what's going on? You want to pick it up and read it and find out. And plus, just seeing that different coloring on Superman is so interesting to me. One of my favorite stories from the early 80s is in the back of an issue of The New Adventures of Superboy, where Superboy writes in his diary, and he's talking about how Ma Kent wanted to kind of switch it up. He'd been wearing the blue and red costume for so long. She makes a costume that's, instead of being mostly blue, it's mostly yellow. And Superman, or Superboy at the time, flies around. He realizes as he's performing feats, because it's yellow, that means technically it's reflecting yellow, the yellow sunlight, the yellow wavelength of sunlight that gives Superman his abilities. And so he's a little weaker than he would be normally. He's like, I can never wear a yellow costume again. But the reason I like the story is it's just such a different look, seeing Superman as mostly yellow instead of mostly blue. Well, same principle here, seeing this gray and black costume. It's just such a departure from how we normally see Superman colored that it draws your interest and you want to know why. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the darker colors that Superman has in Superman 3, the Richard Pryor Superman, where Superman gets that 5 o'clock shadow and he's got the darker colors. It kind of turns evil because of that faux kryptonite or whatever you want to call it. So anyway, great cover. Really, really like that one. Let's see. Up next, I have my last cover, which is my favorite cover of all time. Maybe my favorite comic cover of all time. It's from Superman or Action Comics number 812. It's by Michael Turner. It's part of the New Earth, New Krypton saga that was going on at that time. And you see the traditional Superman in the background, sort of superimposed on the image. You see a big sun in the background, and then you see this Kryptonian architecture, which obviously is, you know, to convey the new Krypton part of the storyline. And in the foreground, you've got Superman wearing this new Kryptonian looking costume with his cape flowing out, and he's leaning on this motorcycle, and the motorcycle is very reminiscent of like a Tron style motorcycle with the big balloon tires and whatever. And it's Michael Turner. So, you know, you've got really fine, delicate lines. You've got interesting composition, and it's just a beautifully rendered piece. And I actually got to see the original art for this at Comic-Con one year. I'd already been sold, not that I could have afforded it. I think at the time it went for, I want to say $11,000 or maybe $15,000, which, you know, this was probably over 10 years ago. It would go for much more now, but it's just such a great image because again, it's something different. You still have the classic Superman in the background, but it's something different, a different costume, some different coloring, this futuristic look, certainly the man of tomorrow kind of jumps off. The coloring is great. In the background, the sky, there's a lot of oranges and reds. the cycle itself, it's, you know, a lot of blues and silvers and whites. There's a glow off of the lights, a real sheen to it. And so it's just a cover that works on so many levels. It's another one of those where you look at it and you think, man, what's going on there? I definitely want to pick it up and read it, which is what a good cover should do. So like I said, one of my favorite covers of all time. I have a print of it. They didn't make a lot of prints, but I did get a print of it from Askin Comics, and it hangs proudly in my studio, and I look at it every day. And like I said, one of my favorite covers of all time. So that's going to do it for this episode. As always, want to thank everybody for listening. Wish you happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever it is that you celebrate. We hope it's a joyous time. We hope everybody is safe and responsible, whether you're traveling or whether you're staying at home, trying to prevent any sort of spread to your friends and family. We definitely appreciate everybody who's making that sacrifice. And we hope you can at least join your family in a virtual way. There's a lot of great platforms out there to do that, FaceTime and Zoom and Google Hangouts and whatnot. So again, we hope it's a really joyous time for you. And we hope you're enjoying all the extra content we've been putting out with the 12 days of the Comic Source. So as always, I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.